from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Hey, fantasy football owners. The road to winning your fantasy football championship starts now. I'm Matt Harmon from Reception Perception. Join me and James Coe as we take a deep dive into the position that's going to make or break your fantasy roster. Wide receivers. We analyze route running, target share, and all the metrics that matter, giving you the insights you need to draft the best wide receivers. As you prep for your draft, let us give you the coverage you need. Follow and listen to Reception Perception on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Tim Dillard, to try and get him on the show, and see, what he thinks of this catcher's rule. And again, that's brought to you by Fourth Base Restaurant. Again, steak, seafood, crab legs, burgers. We got him. We're all set. Joining us now, he is the aforementioned Tim Dillard, Brewers analyst for Bally Sports Wisconsin. Follow him on Twitter, at Dim Tillard. Tim, thanks for coming on, man. Appreciate it.
Yeah, no problem.
Got to talk about the play there in the ninth inning last night. Bowers hits the catcher in the head with his helmet. Frelick has to go back to third. Bowers is out. Were you aware of that rule prior to it happening, or was it something that you hadn't seen that much of?
Haven't seen that much of it. Have heard about it, though. That does exist, obviously. I think in that particular instance, it looked bad. I think most of the time it's more of a, let's say a righty strikes out and the catcher's blocking it and it kind of falls on the guy a little bit, right? Like obstructs him when he's trying to pick up the ball after a drop third strike. In that particular instance with a lefty up, he's finishing his swing and the catcher's blocking it, falling into the batter's box, the left-handed batter's box. To me, seemed a little bit, I don't know. I'm surprised they called, you know, dead ball right away. I think they should have let it play out. It should be bases loaded. Maybe the run doesn't score, but it should be bases loaded. I don't know. I think they jumped the gun. I don't know if they're going to, you know, say they got it wrong like they did literally the night before with the umpires and the whole Aaron Judge thing.
Yep.
But I think they called it too soon. I think a left-handed batter, any hitter has allowed to finish his swing. You know, otherwise you're setting a precedent of like every catcher can just – lean over the plate and get hit in the helmet. You know, and you're like, oh, okay, the guy's out. So I don't know. It was very strange. I'm surprised they didn't think more about it. They jumped the gun, I feel like, a little bit, but who knows? Major League Baseball, I mean, they're going to stick with their umpires for sure. So I don't know. Very difficult situation.
But that's my thing. And that's what I've been talking about for the first half hour. If the catcher goes lateral, if he goes left or right and he gets hit, okay. If he doesn't move out of his crouch, okay. But like you said, he clearly moved forward towards the path of the bat and towards the batter. There should be some type of amendment to the rule saying, listen, if that occurs, there's no call and we play on.
Yeah, I mean, I think anybody watching it would know. And I would even say the umpires probably watching it going, yeah, he was leaning forward. Yeah, he was in the left-handed batter's box. And yeah, he got hit. And they can sit there and go defend themselves by saying, well, this is what the rule says.
Right.
I don't think the rule was intended for that particular situation. And I think they know that. But very rarely are you going to get an umpire to be like, hey, man, we got this wrong. But I think even the rule states you're supposed to let the ball play out before you call it dead, which case that would have changed some things. Bauer would have been on first, you know, and there would have been bases loaded and the situation would have kicked back up. But that wasn't the case. So back-to-back nights, the Brewers just have an anomaly, just a rarity, a unicorn of unbelievable plays not go their way.
The Aaron Judge one, I don't understand how they possibly got that wrong. His hand was clearly up, and they're saying, well, that's how he slides? Come on, man. Get out of here.
Oh, well, if that's the case, like, all right, well, you know, you ever see the, was it Naked Gun, when they're showing the stuff on the Jumbotron, the guy slides in the second, and like a tiger comes out of nowhere and attacks the guy? Like, that's what I thought. I was like, well, then what stops me from tackling everybody? It's just the way I slide. No, he would not have done that right there without having the mitten on his hand.
That's right.
I think everyone knows that. Everybody in baseball that are real baseball people know that. The people on social media that are like, no, that's just the way he slides, and I can't believe Brewers are mad. I don't care. If the Brewers would have done that, if a Brewers player had a mitten and slapped the ball out of the air, I would like to think I'd be unbiased and be like, you know what? You can't do that. And if you had a bare hand, if he had his bare hand slapping the ball, I feel like he probably wouldn't have done that.
No, because it would have hurt like hell.
Mitten.
Yeah.
He has a mitten, so he's like, well, I'll just stick my mitten up. Let's see what happens. Oh, it worked. Huh. Oh, we won the game. It completely changed the course of the game. Got it. And then there's a whole group of people out there that are like, well, that wasn't the turning point in the game. The pitchers could have done better after that. No, that's the spoken like people that have never played baseball, or at least have never pitched in baseball. It's like the idea of you have your pitching gets a good team. You're in a tough situation. It's late in the ball game. You got a man on first, and suddenly you get that unicorn, like, ground ball double play, and you turn around, and for whatever reason, your shortstop's playing right field, right? Like, the switch, you know, the shift is on
right.
Back in the day, and you're going, what is going on? I'm supposed to have my double play. A pitcher feels cheated. You made your pitch, you've done your job, you turn around, and it's not a teammate you're trying to pick up. It's the game just wronged you, right? The umpire just wronged you. That's very tough to come back from. Not that you get your hopes up. That's probably the wrong phrase. But you do know what it looks like to do your job. And then you turn around and it's like, no, not only did you not do your job, but you're in a horrible situation with a bunch of good hitters coming up. So to sit there and say that, well, Uribe should have made better pitches after that is to me the wrong way to put it. It's the umpire should have gotten it right. And the game would have continued. And there would have been a third out right after that. Changes the whole course of the game. Piguero had to come in the game. I don't think he was ready. That changed. And then it matters who comes out of the Yankees bullpen. It matters who comes out off the bench for pinch hits. I mean, the ripple effects of that one little call set the game in a different trajectory. And I think last night you saw that as well with the catcher getting hit. Instead of trying to figure out, hey, can we get this right? Let's just err on the side of, oh, it's not our, it's the rule, it's not us. And then they go from there.
He is Tim Dillard. Follow him on Twitter at Dim Tillard. Of course, Brewers analyst for Bally Sports Wisconsin, brought to you by the 4th Base Restaurant. Steaks, seafood, burgers, whatever you like, they'll make it up for you. CJ and their crew does an amazing job with the food over there at 4th Base. Tim, what about Bryce Wilson? I don't think anybody thought coming into the season Bryce Wilson would be a part of this rotation. But now with the injuries guys maybe not pitching as well as they thought they would pitch and so forth, now he's in this rotation, and it looks like he belongs in this rotation. Again, last night, first inning was shaky, yes, gave up a run, but then settled in and ended up going six innings and giving up just one. He's pitched really well as a starter.
He has. He's pitched really well in any role that he's been given. That's something that Pat Murphy was very adamant about. It's like, listen, if we bring him in for one out or to, you know, get eight outs, you know, whatever it looks like, he's willing to do it, the Swiss Army knife. And I'm actually surprised looking back at last season. There were several times they could have easily put him in the starting rotation and not skip the beat. But he was so valuable in the bullpen, and they were able to get by. They had, you know, different starters, or they had the three-headed monster at the top of the rotation. So they were like, let's don't sacrifice, you know, the golden goose that we have down there for multiple innings and have to do that. But now, you know, that they have to do that. They've had so many injuries. It's this is where it's gone to. And I think they were prepared for it. Pat Murphy said as much in a pregame presser.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep. And when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Hey, fantasy football owners. Anybody can tell you what a good fantasy quarterback looks like, but it's the receivers that make or break your team. I'm Matt Harmon from Reception Perception. Join me and James Coe as we take a deep dive into the position that matters most, wide receivers. From the route trees to who plays better in man or zone, we provide the insights you need to draft the best wide receivers. As you prep for your draft, let us give you the coverage you need. Follow and listen to Reception Perception on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
For the other day is like, you know, this was a possibility. We didn't think we were going to have to come to this, but I mean, there's a lot of teams that wish they had a fall guy of like a spot starter when it comes to Bryce Wilson. His stuff is good. It plays. He's efficient. He goes deep into ball games if his pitch counts up, and that's what you saw. I mean, he has struggled in the first inning, kind of hit cruise control after that. You look around the scoreboard, 6 innings, 1 run. There's some strikeouts. Walks are limited. Hits are down, and you're going, we're in this ball game. And I think that's what he's brought to the Brewers since he's been there. Whatever they helped him with, when he got over to the Brewers, I know he kind of ditched his changeup. Changeup was a really good pitch, but for him now it's the cutter. He's fastball, cutter, sinker, and he can do it all. And he plays. He's in the zone, and he uses defense, which the Brewers obviously have an amazing defense. So I'm not surprised at all. This is what he did last year, but it was in smaller innings, and now he's in bigger situations where they heavily rely on him, and he delivered last night.
Last night, McGill and Hudson delivered as well. McGill, knew obviously from last year. Hudson, though, at 6'8", has been something really that the Brewers can rely on this year.
His stuff plays. It's not like he's max effort either. It's not like he has to rely on 99, you know, with like the super sharpest slider you've ever seen. His stuff is very relaxed. He throws it over the plate. He knows he's deceptive. I think some people try to be mysterious. They try to be deceptive and disrupt timing. I think just being tall, his arm angle, when the ball comes out, because it feels like he's already thrown the ball, and then his arm is dragging through the zone, like it's hard to pick up on it. And you can tell by hitters on the way they swing. What a great pickup. I cannot believe, was it the Dodgers?
Yeah.
They designated him because of Yamamoto. It's like, I get it, but are you kidding me? This guy's a gem. And it looks relaxed. You know, you see some guys are max effort, and you're going, how long can this last? It could only be, you know, half a season or something. But he continually shows up on proper days rest, throws multiple innings like it's nothing, attacks lefties and righties, doesn't matter. Super valuable. I don't know if they've done like relievers of the month or not, but I don't know how you can pass this guy up. His innings are through the roof and his ERA is like a 0.5. So it's pretty special stuff. And I think he does it with a great attitude too. I've got to know him a little bit, and just his attitude towards the game and being available is, you know, a big deal. A part of how his craft is put together.
Talk about William Contreras a little bit, Tim, as far as we know he's hitting the crap out of the ball. We know that. But when they got William Contreras, there was questions about defense, and that was part of the reason why Atlanta apparently was willing to move on. But so far last year and now this year too, Contreras looks to be working well with the pitching staff, throwing runners out, he's kind of doing everything you possibly could ask of him.
Yeah, Sophia Minter caught up with him, I think maybe just a few days ago, and just asked him about the difference between last season and this season. And one powerful thing that stood out is he's with a new organization. He has to learn all new pitchers. And so that kind of, he felt that kind of took away maybe some from his attention to offense, right? Like he's, it takes a lot of work. To think you can roll out of bed and catch a major league pitcher is just not, you know, it's not reality. You can't do that. There's so much effort that goes into it to try to get it right. And I think he devoted himself that way. And I mean, you could say, well, he was amazing last year, Silver Slugger. But this year he feels more comfortable. He knows guys. He knows his craft. Behind the dish, he's able to put a little bit more emphasis, I think, on the offensive side. And I've seen it. I've gone to the field early, and I see his I guess you would call it just like preparation. Doesn't like to take batting practice on the field in front of everybody. Goes early. Wants to see the flight of the baseball. Works on keeping his hands back, hitting to all fields. That is a sign of a very disciplined hitter. And here's the thing. That's hard to do with a workload of a catcher. It really is. The effort level alone, like just the calories you're burning and the time that you're burning is something pretty special. So for him to be able to do that day in and day out, getting his craft and getting ready offensively and then going behind the dish and leading this pitching staff, pretty remarkable stuff. And honestly, when he came in, everybody was the headline was his defense, and I never saw it. I didn't think he was that bad at defense at all. When we saw him, watching film of him, even early in the year in spring training of last year, I thought he was a very adequate to above average catcher, and he's done nothing but deliver since.
There is talk that Tyler Black is being recalled from Nashville, Tim Dillard, and he'll be up here today, it looks like. You got to see a lot of Tyler Black here the last couple of years out in spring training. Your thoughts on Tyler Black's call-up?
Yeah, I mean, is that confirmed?
McKelvey confirmed it just a little. Ooh. John Morosi tweeted out earlier, an hour ago. And then Adam McKelvey, 54 minutes ago, said, source confirms Tyler Black is on the way to the big leagues. And then he tweeted out an MLB Pipeline article from earlier in the year.
Wow. Yeah, I mean, they've kind of been waiting on him. I mean, the power, everything's there. They're trying to line it up to see what it looks like, and it comes down to opportunity. So they must see some sort of moment where, okay, we can look to the future a little bit. Because anytime you start going, okay, we have a young guy coming up, you can't have 10 young guys out there on the field. You got to have some people that are playing well to be able to surround yourself. I think in a small example, last year, Bryce Terang maybe struggled offensively, but his defense made up for it. And there were other guys on the field that were doing really well. So you were okay with that. Okay, it doesn't matter if he's a super, you know, offensive production or not. You're getting a lot from him. So they're only going to bring up guys now that they're willing to go, okay, if he struggles a little bit, fine, but the defense is going to play. And he's a good player. They've been high on him for several years now. They know what kind of caliber player he is and that he's not going to sacrifice anything on defense. And if anything, you know, every once in a while, maybe stay away from the strikeouts. I think that's probably a concern. If you look across baseball, I think some of the teams that are doing really well are just kind of cutting down on strikeouts. And so I don't think he's going to be a big strikeout guy. You know, hopefully the contact percentage along the lines of somebody like Bryce Terang this season.
Last question, Tim Diller. Jackson Churio, last week we talked about it a little bit. Figured I'll bring it up again today. We've seen guys get sent down. Jackson Holliday got sent down for the Orioles already. What was it, yesterday, a couple days ago? After they called him up. The difference, obviously, is Jackson Churio signed to a pretty big contract by the Brewers. Do you think Churio's here regardless of what happens?
Hard to know. He's still good in the outfield. I think he misjudged the ball the other day.
He did.
That could have, you know, been caught, but yep. That's the learning curve. But he's made some above-average plays. I think he's fast. He gets on base. He can steal. Got a good feel for it. I think he's a very good situational hitter, honestly. I don't know if they feel like he's doing it on purpose, but there's times he gets up to the plate, pulls out a great at-bat, kind of has a big moment, gets a guy over, and nobody really talks about it because somebody after that hits, you know, the top of the order. It's like somebody hits a double and someone hits a home run. It kind of gets overlooked. But they want more consistency. The strikeouts are really high. The other day is like, you know, this was a possibility. We didn't think we were going to have to come to this, but I mean, there's a lot of teams that wish they had a fall guy of like a spot starter when it comes to Bryce Wilson. His stuff is good. It plays. He's efficient. He goes deep in the ball games if his pitch counts up, and that's what you saw. I mean, he has struggled in the first inning, kind of hit cruise control after that. You look around the scoreboard, six innings, one run. There's some strikeouts. Walks are limited. Hits are down, and you're going, we're in this ball game. And I think that's what he's brought to the Brewers since he's been there. Whatever they helped him with, when he got over to the Brewers, I know he kind of ditched his changeup. Changeup was a really good pitch, but for him, now it's the cutter. He's fastball cutter, sinker, and he can do it all. And he plays. He's in the zone, and he uses defense, which the Brewers obviously have an amazing defense. So I'm not surprised at all. This is what he did last year, but it was in smaller innings, and now he's in bigger situations where they heavily rely on him, and he delivered last night.
Last night, McGill and Hudson delivered as well. McGill, knew obviously from last year. Hudson, though, at 6'8", has been something really that the Brewers can rely on this year.
His stuff plays. It's not like he's max effort either. It's not like he has to rely on 99, you know, with like the super sharpest slider you've ever seen. His stuff is very relaxed. He throws it over the plate. He knows he's deceptive. I think some people try to be mysterious. They try to be deceptive and disrupt timing. I think just being tall, his arm angle, when the ball comes out, because it feels like he's already thrown the ball, and then his arm is dragging through the zone, like it's hard to pick up on it. And you can tell by hitters on the way they swing. What a great pickup. I cannot believe, was it the Dodgers?
Yeah.
They designated him because of Yamamoto. It's like, I get it, but are you kidding me? This guy's a gem. And it looks relaxed. You know, you see some guys are max effort, and you're going, how long can this last? It could only be, you know, a half a season or something. But he continually shows up on proper days rest, throws multiple innings like it's nothing, attacks lefties and righties, doesn't matter. Super valuable. I don't know if they've done like relievers of the month or not, but I don't know how you can pass this guy up. His innings are through the roof and his ERA is like a 0.5. So it's pretty special stuff. And I think he does it with a great attitude too. I've got to know him a little bit, and just his attitude towards the game and being available is, you know, a big deal. A part of how his craft is put together.
Talk about William Contreras a little bit, Tim, as far as we know he's hitting the crap out of the ball. We know that. But when they got William Contreras, there was questions about defense, and that was part of the reason why Atlanta apparently was willing to move on. But so far last year and now this year too, Contreras looks to be working well with the pitching staff, throwing runners out. He's kind of doing everything you possibly could ask of him.
Yeah, Sophia Minter caught up with him, I think maybe just a few days ago, and just asked him about the difference between last season and this season. And one powerful thing that stood out is he's with a new organization. He has to learn all new pitchers. And so that kind of – he felt that kind of took away maybe some from his attention to offense, right? Like it takes a lot of work. To think you can roll out of bed and catch a major league pitcher is just not – you know, it's not reality. You can't do that. There's so much effort that goes into it to try to get it right. And I think he devoted himself that way. And, I mean, you could say, well, he was amazing last year, silver slugger. But this year he feels more comfortable. He knows guys. He knows his craft behind the dish. He's able to put a little bit more emphasis, I think, on the offensive side. And I've seen it. I've gone to the field early, and I see his I guess you would call it just like preparation. Doesn't like to take batting practice on the field in front of everybody. Goes early. Wants to see the flight of the baseball. Works on keeping his hands back, hitting to all fields. That is a sign of a very disciplined hitter. And here's the thing. That's hard to do with a workload of a catcher. It really is. I'm just the effort level alone, like just the calories you're burning and the time that you're burning is something pretty special. So for him to be able to do that day in and day out, getting his craft and getting ready offensively, and then going behind the dish and leading this pitching staff, pretty remarkable stuff. And honestly, when he came in, everybody was the headline was his defense, and I never saw it. I didn't think he was that bad at defense at all. When we saw him, watching film of him, even early in the year in spring training of last year, I thought he was a very adequate to above-average catcher, and he's done nothing but deliver since.
There is talk that Tyler Black is being recalled from Nashville, Tim Dillard, and he'll be up here today, it looks like. You got to see a lot of Tyler Black here the last couple of years out in spring training. Your thoughts on Tyler Black's call-up?
Yeah, I mean, is that confirmed?
McKelvey confirmed it. Just a little. John Morosi tweeted out earlier, a couple hours ago, an hour ago. And then Adam McKelvey, 54 minutes ago, said, source confirms Tyler Black is on the way to the big leagues. And then he tweeted out an MLB Pipeline article from earlier in the year.
Wow. Yeah, I mean, they've kind of been waiting on him. I mean, the power, everything's there. They're trying to line it up to see what it looks like, and it comes down to opportunity. So they must see some sort of moment where, okay, we can look to the future a little bit. Because anytime you start going, okay, we have a young guy coming up, you can't have 10 young guys out there on the field. You got to have some people that are playing well to be able to surround yourself. I think in a small example, last year, Bryce Terang maybe struggled offensively, but his defense made up for it. And there were other guys on the field that were doing really well. So you were okay with that. Okay, it doesn't matter if he's a super, you know, offensive production or not. You're getting a lot from him. So they're only going to bring up guys now that they're willing to go, okay, if he struggles a little bit, fine, but the defense is going to play. And he's a good player. They've been high on him for several years now. They know what kind of caliber player he is and that he's not going to sacrifice anything on defense. And if anything, you know, every once in a while, maybe stay away from the strikeouts. I think that's probably a concern. If you look across baseball, I think some of the teams that are doing really well are just kind of cutting down on strikeouts. And so I don't think he's going to be a big strikeout guy. You know, hopefully the contact percentage along the lines of somebody like Bryce Terang this season.
Last question, Tim Diller. Jackson Churio, last week we talked about it a little bit. Figured I'll bring it up again today. We've seen guys get sent down. Jackson Holliday got sent down for the Orioles already. What was it, yesterday, a couple days ago? After they called him up. The difference, obviously, is Jackson Churio signed to a pretty big contract by the Brewers. Do you think Churio's here regardless of what happens?
Hard to know. I mean, honestly, he's still good in the outfield. I think he misjudged the ball the other day.
He did.
That could have, you know, been caught, but yep. That's the learning curve. But he's made some above-average plays. I think he's fast. He gets on base. He can steal. Got a good feel for it. I think he's a very good situational hitter, honestly. I don't know if they feel like he's doing it on purpose, but there's times he gets up to the plate, pulls out a great at-bat, kind of has a big moment, gets a guy over, and nobody really talks about it because somebody after that hits, you know, the top of the order. It's like somebody hits a double and then someone hits a home run. It kind of gets overlooked. But they want more consistency. The strikeouts are really high, and this is part of baseball. Pitchers are not dumb. They have all the, you know, footage. They have the numbers now, the analytics, and all that to say is they tell pitchers, listen, you're going to throw this guy sweepers and sliders away, strike the ball, and you're going to throw heaters up. Now, if he lays off that stuff, then good luck. You better limit him to a single. But if you can execute, he's going to fish for it. He's going to swing. And I think they've exploited him a little bit. But he's a super talent, and we have to throw everything through the filter of he's 20 years old.
Yeah.
If they think it's best to send him down, then, you know, they did their due diligence and they asked around. But I don't think he's doing any disservice. He's come up with some big at-bats and maybe not delivered, but he's also delivered at times as much as, you know, the next guy. So I don't know.
Yes.
I personally would keep him there just because I like the way he plays. He shows up every day. He runs everything hard. And to me, you want a rookie there to kind of bring that kind of energy.
Yeah, no, I'm with you. I wouldn't send him down either. He is Tim Dillard. Follow him on Twitter at DimTillard. Brought to you by Fourth Base Restaurant. Steaks, seafood, burgers, pork chop sandwiches, shaved steak sandwiches. You name it, they got it. And if they've got the food, they'll make it for you. If you want something that's not on the menu, they'll hook that up for you too. CJ and the crew over there at Fourth Base Restaurant, right over there close to American Family Field. Tim, thank you so much.
Yep, appreciate it, Sparky.
You betcha. Talk to you next Tuesday. Tuesdays with Tim every Tuesday at 2:40.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Hey, fantasy football owners. Anybody can tell you what a good fantasy quarterback looks like, but it's the receivers. that make or break your team. I'm Matt Harmon from Reception Perception. Join me and James Coe as we take a deep dive in the position that matters most, wide receivers. From the route trees to who plays better in man or zone, we provide the insights you need to draft the best wide receivers. As you prep for your draft, let us give you the coverage you need. Follow and listen to Reception Perception on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.